Hold on. Can you see or hear me? Okay, I'm just, so you can hear the Rav and me also? Just me, Rav, could you speak, please?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, Matt says yes. They can't see the Rav, I'm not sure why. Okay, let's continue with the audio. I'm going to go off and we'll just go ahead with the audio at least.
Everybody hear me? You left. Yeah, okay. Go right there. Nisan is a time when there are undercurrents. There are things happening under the surface. Probably many of you are familiar with the minig of saying the Nesim, the Nasi of the day every day. Meaning, it was in the days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was inaugurated, and every day a different Nasi of a different Shevet brought a set of karbanos unique to his shevet, and it amazingly worked out that each of the Nesiim bought the precise same series of karbanos, each for a completely different reason, based on the spiritual ins and outs of their shevet. Now, the Shlach says that what was going on there was Klal Yisrael is the pillar of all of existence. And each of the Shvatim has his contribution, each Shvat has its contribution, but it contributes to the composition of the world. And what was going on in the days that the Nesiim were bringing their Karbanos was that actually the underlying infrastructure of the world was being laid down. Each Nasi came and laid down another block in the infrastructure of the world toward the spiritual birth of the world, which actually began with the Geula of the Jewish people. That's why I know this farm say, what is the famous Machloikis, whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. And many of the Sfarim say that the physical creation of the world was in Tishrei, and the spiritual creation of the world was in Nisan. Now, forgive me, we're talking a little bit of a different style than we usually speak. We usually try to talk more down to earth. I want to start from a deeper place and then work our way toward the surface. So Nisan is a very, very formative time. We're moving now into a zone where there are a lot of spiritual undercurrents. And it goes further than that. There are many halachas that when you look in Sfarim like the Shla and other such Sfarim, you see that there's a lot of depth behind the technical reasons for the halachas. Shloshim yom kodem lachag, the 30 days before Pesach, you're supposed to be engaging in the halachas of Pesach. So it says in the Sfarim something very, very profound. The calendar is set up with a number of different mayadim corresponding to things that happened in different points in history, but actually all of these things have spiritual significance to contribute to each other. The Sfarim explain as follows. 30 days before Pesach, Chinuch and Mishnah Berurah, when does that start? It starts on Purim. They say that the Ger Rebbe, the Imam, they used to sit with the Masechta Pesachim at his Purim Suda. Mishnah Berurah points this out. Purim is the day to start studying Hilchos Pesach. The Sfarim say that Haman's downfall was the fall of the forces of Tumah, and that's when the forces of Kedusha start building up. They reach a certain peak at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it just continues to build up until the very, very great night of Pesach, when the spiritual lights shine so brightly that we can't imagine what's actually going on that night. But this is all a buildup beginning from Purim. The effect is beginning from Purim. And that's why Sfarim say that there's no Tachnun on Nisan, because once Rosh Chodesh Nisan enters, we're in a zone of Tahara where you don't need the Tachnun to cut through different forces of Tumah that usually exist. So there's a lot going on. There's very, very great and powerful undercurrents at work from beginning from after Purim and building up to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then building up to Pesach. And it's very interesting to note that everything that we're seeing now happening basically really started kicking in for the Jewish world just about Purim time. And it's been building up since then. I avoid talking with a messianic tone. I'm not that type. I think anybody who knows me already knows that. And basically, we're talking to people who know us. So you're not going to think that I'm... But I want to work now just with basics that we always know are true. As we said, one of the drushes in these past weeks, we do know that there will be a Bias HaMashiach. We know that, right? We don't know exactly when it will be. Okay. Now, when we see things happening that give certain indications, it's always appropriate to be ready, because the truth is that if you don't see anything happening, it's appropriate to be ready. You should constantly be readying yourself for it. And it goes further than that also. We don't know exactly what this whole process is doing. It's a very, very bizarre process in history. Reuven Leuchter worded it is that basically what Hashem did, he said, he came and he said, everybody move out of my way. Don't touch my world now. You've been running my world for so long. Just pushed everybody out of the way. And Reuven Leuchter's wording was, mitasekim olomo. He took his own world into his hands now. Everybody lay off. Everybody lay off. All the control he had over the world, everybody's letting go now. Now, I am controlling things. Where it's heading, we don't know. But what we do know is that if we prepare ourselves for all eventualities, we'll only have gained. Meaning, perhaps this is mamish leading up to, like we said from Odessa the other night, the disintegration of Olam Hazeh and heralding in the next stage of history, the Emes HaMashiach. And we do well to ready ourselves for that. It's possible that there will be a break. We hope not. We hope not. But it's possible that there will be a break between this and the ultimate Bias HaMashiach. And if there is, it doesn't make a difference because there is a purification process going on if we will allow ourselves to attach to it and to take advantage of it. And the Maisa, what will the worst case scenario be? The worst case scenario will be was that we will have raised ourselves to a higher plane that now we'll be operating with and going forward afterwards. So this is a time to be taken very seriously. There's obviously very, very great things going on now without knowing exactly, without having to pinpoint exactly what it's actually about. Now, so what should we be doing? What should we be doing? So we often say at home, my wife and I will say to each other, Baruch Hashem, we have a house full of children. It's very limited sometimes. And sometimes we just feel like, whoa, this is like beyond two people. It's more than two people can handle. And like, how are we supposed to keep on top of everything and each kid with his things and with his issues and what? It's just so much to keep track of. How do we do this? And you know what? The answer that we tell each other on a very regular basis is that there's a third shutuf in the picture, Hashem. And you know what? He's the main shutuf. He's the main partner here. And actually, if we can recognize that, you know what? We're not in control. We can keep on top of it all. And we're humbled by that. And we let go of the notion. We let go of the notion that, you know, this is our family. We're supposed to be holding it in our hands and having it under control. That is actually success. That is actually a very chashav avayda of being able to understand that, you know what? I am limited and I depend on Hashem. So now, when we're talking about this tkufa now, there's so much unknown. There's a sense of helplessness. For the world around, basically the world has been put on hold. People are losing precious time in their lives. All of making money has been stopped for many people. All kinds of things that we consider living our lives have been stopped now, been put on hold. And there's just a sense of helplessness. There's just a sense of who knows what the future is going to bring. Where is this all headed? But you know what? As far as we're concerned, this, we might say, is one of the central avoidances that we should be doing right now. It's acknowledging this, acknowledging that right now control was taken away from us and that Hashem decided, you know what? I want you to be mevatel yourself to me now. I want you to be batel to me now. I want you to... Usually you feel like, you know, there's a chiyuv hishtadlus. Now it's clear there's no chiyuv hishtadlus. There's nothing for you to do now. Whatever hishtadlus you should be doing in terms of your own personal safety, that you should do. But in terms of the world, getting the world back on track, Hashem said, you know what? You're exempt from all hishtadlus now. There's nothing you could be doing now. Now just sit back and let me run my world and accept that. Accept that. This is the big avoid of Kabbalah me'avo. If we'll use the word Yisurim, the word Yisurim is certainly apt to each person on whatever level he's experiencing this. We're all going through periods of feeling stuck, helpless, not knowing what to do with ourselves. And you know what? If for other people that means putting life on hold, for us, that could be a period of very, very profound progress and growth in what? In just being batel to Hashem and accepting Hashem's kingship and accepting that He's the one running everything and that now it's not just theoretical. We always know that Hashem is running everything, but we always feel like we have our lives basically in control. Here are things that we're not controlling. But here there's a very, very great avoid. It's an opportunity. It's so tangible. It's so tangible that Hashem is running things and that our hands are tied. So let's go into that actively. Let's go into that actively, experience it, embrace it, and appreciate it. Appreciate it and see in it a very chashuva area of growth. If we'll approach this week's parsha, we have all the different types of karbanos are laid out there. And you have the there's a striking difference between the animal oilah and the bird oilah. The animal oilah, classic, it's slaughtered at the foot of the Mizbeach. Rav Hirsch notes three big differences. The whole process is different with the bird oilah. It's kind of, at first glance, it's a gruesome process relative to the animal. The Kohen slaughters the bird with his thumbnail from the back of the neck, and then he breaks open the body of the bird and presses it against the Mizbeach in order to squeeze its blood out. So, first of all, that whole business is very different than a standard karbon. In another way, it's different. A standard karbon can be slaughtered by a non-Kohen. The owner of the karbon can slaughter the karbon. A bird oila has to be slaughtered by the Kohen. Another big difference that Rav Hirsch notes, I can see this in the Pesukim, but Rav Hirsch reads significance into this, is that an animal is slaughtered at the foot of the Mizbeach. The bird is slaughtered on the Mizbeach. So three differences. The bird is slaughtered on the Mizbeach by a Kohen in a much more destructive, violent, if we'll put it that way, form. Whereas the animal is slaughtered at the foot of the Mizbeach by a non-Kohen in a more normal form. Rav Hirsch says something very fundamental. We're not going to focus on the animal right now. We'll just say it briefly in order to make a contrast. We'll focus on the bird. But he says the difference is that the animal represents, you know, who brings a bird generally? Who brings a bird oila? An ani, a poor, afflicted person. An animal, when a person brings an ox, what it represents is he's dedicating his abilities, his resources. An ox is expensive. An ox is strong. It represents the person's money. It represents his abilities. A person says, I'm taking this and I'm dedicating it to Hashem. I'm an active person. I have a lot of koyach. I have a lot of resources. I have a lot of ability. I'm taking that, I'm dedicating it to Hashem. It's done on the floor of the Mizbeach because it's coming from Olam Hazeh. It's coming from my place of control. And it's done by the owner. It's done by the owner. This is something that's initiated by the owner. He is offering his activities, his koyches to Hashem. The bird symbolizes helplessness. The bird symbolizes helplessness. That's why you see in many places in Tehillim and in other psukim, the bird is the pursued poor creature that's always running away from its enemies. The ani is likened to a bird. The bird, oila, represents just accepting what Hashem is bringing upon a person. And therefore, the bird is operating in a different realm. He's at the top of the Mizbeach. He is, his activities are not coming from himself. He's not doing activities. He is passively in a place of just being mekabel gzeira shamayim, accepting gzeira shamayim that's being imposed on him. And that's also why the owner is not a part of the process. The Kohen does it. The Kohen represents what's being imposed min HaShemayim. It's being imposed by Hashem. And it's in the highest place. It's on top of the Mizbeach. This is the bird. By only bringing a bird as a karbon, what he's showing is, I am submitting myself to Hashem. I'm helpless. And I am giving myself into Hashem's hands with the understanding that that's really what puts me in the highest place on top of the karbon. Where we are now is in a place of helplessness. But at the same time, we're in a place of helplessness at one of the most powerful times of the year, one of the most potent times of the year. This is the time when the Jewish people are, so to speak, going through their pregnancy toward being born. This is the time when the undercurrents, the spiritual undercurrents of the year are being put into place. And therefore, let's approach it this way, dafka at this time, to say, you know what? What are we going to actively do? We're going to actively let go. We're being forced to let go anyways. Right? We're being forced to let go anyways. But you know what? Embrace it. Say, to the extent that I'm being forced to let go, to the extent that Hashem is saying, you're stuck anyways. You're stuck in, you can fret, or you can say, you know what? I'm embracing this. I'm embracing the fact that I'm not in control. I am willing to be Adaraba. I'm happy for Hashem to just manifest his kingship by himself while I sit at the side. And my contribution to it is that I'm happy, I'm okay with just being helpless, with just sitting on the side and watching it happen. And you know what? If so, it's not helpless at all. If so, we are busy now with our lives, from one moment to the next, being stuck in our homes, being paralyzed, not knowing what's going to be, is a life of meaning. We're progressing. We're achieving an awful lot. The rest of the world might be completely paralyzed. The rest of the world might be losing precious time in their lives. We are actually operating, achieving in ways that we might not have been able to achieve a month and a half ago by letting go. By letting go and by just not being able to do anything, but by embracing it. And this is really the concept of Kabbalas Yisurin Ba'ava, which is a very, very weighty concept in the Gemara. The ability to say, I'm going through something. I might put in the efforts to changing it, but I understand that this is what Hashem is bringing on me now in his love. And you know what? I'm going to embrace it with love. And again, we are Hashem's people. We're Hashem's people. Hashem manifesting his kingship is really all about us, because ultimately we are going to be the ones to rejoice in his kingdom. When Hashem ultimately does reveal himself, we're going to be at the front of the line. We're going to be his family sitting around the table. And therefore, let's move through this process passively in an active way. In an active way. By internalizing what's going on, by internalizing that, yes, it's okay for me to feel that I have no control, because it's really true. It's okay for me to feel helpless, because, yeah, Hashem runs this world. Now, we come back to many things we've been saying these last few days. We're at home. Everything is challenged. Davening is challenged. Learning is challenged. Parnassah is challenged. Ben Adam L'Chaveri is challenged. Many of us have many kids at home. It's overwhelming. We don't know what to do with the kids. They don't know what to do with themselves. And what do? So what? We get inspired and we want to operate at a high level, and we get frustrated because it's just so hard. It's just so hard. And with every day going by, the tefillah becomes more difficult. Tefillah b'yichidus with the kids at home. And the learning, what do you wrench some time out for the learning? And the tensions are building up at home. And whereas you'd like to think I'd be operating and performing on an ultimate level, we become more edgy, we become more tense, we're snapping more. But you know what? This is all a part of that process. Let's understand now that right now what we have to offer Hashem is something that he cherishes very much. A minchas ani, a korban ani, the bird oila of the ani. If previously we were able to offer oxen when we were operating at full level, previously we were able to offer oxen, fat oxen. We were able to offer our abilities, our kliches, our money, our resources. And now all we're able to offer is a weakened davening, compromised learning. Our ben adam l'chaveiro is at a low level. These three amudei oilam. And we're trying to figure out, maybe we should be doing more things. And what are the reasons to figure out what are the school is for these times, and what are the special expectations that are being, we're going to hear, hearing all kinds of things being said, and it's because of this, and it's because of that, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that, and we're just barely managing to make it through the day. So on the contrary, that is the avoida, to barely make it through the day, to struggle in all these areas, and to tell Hashem, you know what? You brought me down to a quarter level performance. I'm okay with that. I'm embracing that. I'm happy with that. And here's what I'm going to offer you at a quarter capacity. I'm going to keep pushing. And this is going to be one of the most fundamental areas. Another area of avoidance in this time is to be able to revive your resolve on a regular basis. We're going to be worn down from one day to the next. And to be able to, if we, initially we were operating with inspiration, you have to take it to the next level now. And after a week of being worn down, to say, Now I'm going to bring it back up, and I'm going to give another push in these areas, knowing that it's going to be a tough push. I'm going to take steps. I'm going to take measures to enhance my tefillah at home. Or in the minyan, whatever form it is, it's compromised. I'm going to take steps to wrench out time of learning, some time of learning, no matter what's going on. And most constantly what's going to be going on at home is I'm going to push to enhance my interactions. And if I'm operating on a low level, it's right. Hashem turned me into another ani right now. I'm not in position right now to offer him top quality performance in my interactions with the people around me. But you know what? I'm going to push to offer him a lower quality performance. I'm going to actively look for positive things to say when I'm feeling so worn down. I'm going to hold back more. I'm going to try to be operating in a more pleasant way, even though it's constantly pushing against the current. Don't be discouraged by the fact that in the general picture, it might look like you're failing most of the time, because again, Hashem set up the situation. He's saying, all you can offer me now is a karban ani. All you can offer me now is a karban ani. You're helpless now. That's the avoida now, to operate helpless, to accept being helpless, to embrace being helpless, and to offer Hashem what you can from a place of helplessness. And on the contrary, this is the way that we cooperate with Hashem not enabling us to cooperate. This is the way we operate with Hashem showing that he's the Baal HaBayis now. And therefore, if you allow me to make my suggestions, what are the things we should be looking to do these days? The things we should be looking to do these days is to focus on the toned down reality right now. Do not look for extra exotic, sensational things. Put your focus on the core performance, what we would normally consider the most basic areas of Avoda. Focus on the fact that right now I'm helpless and I'm okay with that. And focus on pushing yourself to perform in what you consider the main areas of Avoda on the level that you're able to do it, and be able to pat yourself on the back, be able to pat yourself on the back and to say, you know what, if today I was able to operate at 15%, that's a hatzlacha. That's a hatzlacha. That is a karban ani mehuda. Because that's all Hashem expects of us now, because he's the one who set up the situation. But still, we'll push for effort in these areas. And most specifically, again, tensions will be high. It's going to be very difficult to operate perfectly. But nevertheless, if when we're pushing against the current, there's a concept discussed in the Sfarim, Sir Tzvi Meir Zilberberg talk about this at length. He talks about it in the Yamin Nerayim, a concept called Heichal HaZchus, that there is the realm of Zchus in the upper worlds. We want to be in that realm. How do you operate in that realm? You operate in that realm by creating a Heichal HaZchus in your own realm. Now again, we're being challenged. But if we can work to create a zone, as much as we possibly can, a zone of the place we'd want to be around Hashem, of ne'imus, of pleasantness, of he'oras panim, of not seeing negative, of seeing positive, of dan lekav zchus. Any pleasantness that you can exude now, and also realize another thing, when things are going to get tense, I don't think we have any of the younger children listening to what we're discussing now. It's parents, it's older siblings. It's not going to, the only one who has it, who's holding the reins in his hands to make a change is going to be you. You're not going to be able to beat out of the kids a more pleasant atmosphere. It just won't work. Negativity will breed more negativity. To be able to muster up some more positivity in us when everything is going crazy, when the tensions are high, when we don't know what's going to be, to generate a little bit more positivity, that will generate that much more in the upper worlds. And also, what should the talk now be? If we look around now, a Jew's words have a lot of power. When a Jew says that there are good things going on in Klal Yisrael, then they relate to it that way in Shemayim also. This is the deeper level of Dan Lekav Zchus. V'Shiyos Yisharim says that Hashem cherishes those who speak well of His children. And it's because it also creates more favor for us in Shamayim. If favor is being expressed down here, the words of a Jew have a lot of power. Favor will be created in Shamayim also. What should the talk be in the house now? So you want to be talking about some of the concepts that we've been discussing on a level that your children can relate to. And you also want to be talking about how great the Jewish people are. Dafka the Yetzer Hara has his ways. Even at times like this, when everybody is suffering on the same front, he manages to create tensions. He manages to create tensions, whether it's within the home, whether it's different people in different ways. Be looking around and be noting and expressing in your home, expressing to each other, expressing to yourself the beautiful things that you're seeing about Jews. A number of different, I've just been exposed in these last week of a number of different people, companies that have different services, different programs that they usually charge a lot of money for. Things that are valuable things, right? It's a chachma. A 5,000-6,000 shekel program. They just made their whole 100,000 sefer library available free of charge to anybody because of the current situation. I know of other people on smaller scales who have also been doing this. They have a service. They usually charge for it. They have a program. They have something that can make people's lives pleasant. They've been offering it out. I'm sure everybody around you, you see people around you doing amazing things in all kinds of different ways. Express this. Talk about it. Be ma'orer zchus for Klal Yisrael at these times. And yes, with all these things, it's going to be a push, but on the contrary, this is what makes it valuable, and it's coming along. It's giving the push with the understanding that, yes, now we're helpless. We're embracing the fact that we're helpless. We're embracing the fact that we're completely in Hashem's hands. And give your focus to that. Give your focus to that. This way, we're putting ourselves through a purification process. The world is being put through a purification process. So much of the tumah of the world is turned off now. Everything is operating at a much lower level. And this is how we can very actively operate in the paralyzed state that Hashem put us through. And this really is the deeper meaning of when we talk about Chirus, so moving toward the Yom Tov of Chirus, freedom, liberty. What it really means is, and this is a long, deep discussion that we're not going to get into now. Like Chazal say, Elocha ben Choran l'misha yisik b'Torah, a person who's connected to Torah is the one who has true freedom. What does that mean? What that means is that at a time like this, when the world is paralyzed, when you can't go out of your home, when you can't work, nobody is holding you back. You're free to make progress, to move ahead in the most important areas of your life. If your most important area of life is spirituality, there is never a situation that can hold you back from running miles ahead. You take a Jew and you lock him up in prison with absolutely nothing there. He can run miles ahead. How? By sitting down and saying, Hashem, this is what you want from me now? I'm embracing this. There's a Holocaust book called The Unconquerable Spirit. It's such a profound name. The Unconquerable Spirit. You can conquer the body. You can never hold the spirit back. You can lock a Jew up in jail. You can lock him up in a concentration camp, Chas V'Shalom. You can kill him. Even by killing him, you're not holding him back. Because for a Jew, death can also be a major achievement, a major accomplishment, something that catapults him so much further in what he holds most dear in life, what he wants to be doing. So therefore, we're not paralyzed at all right now. We can be getting ahead in leaps and bounds through our helplessness, through our passiveness. And this is how we relate to it. So if we'll boil this down to practical terms, what should we be doing now? Embrace the reality. Say, Hashem, I understand that right now you want to show that we're not in control, and I'm okay with that. Operate within that reality to provide him with the minchas ani in the most important areas, to push, to enhance your davening, your learning, your ben adam l'chaveroi, your digduk in halacha. Halacha also, it's going to be challenged in all kinds of ways, and we'll have no choice but to go with different kulas in various areas. And we will. But nevertheless, it's a very, very big chachma not to just let everything fall apart. Yes, we will be forced to let go of things as we're moving into Pesach now. We'll be forced to be doing things at a lower level than we usually do. But nevertheless, there's a big difference when a person is being, yes, this I have to let go of, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to just drop all the different dikdukim, whatever I could still be doing as best as I can, I'm going to do. The ability to go with a not with an everything or nothing approach is another form of a minchas ani, which is going to be so cherished by Hashem now. And like we said, you have to give yourself space. You have to give yourself birth, both emotionally and lemaisa. Now is the time to be able to pat yourself on the back for the small achievements, because the small achievements these days are the very great ones. And it's a very, very chashuv tool in ruchnius. This might sound strange, but it's a very chashuv tool in ruchnius to be able to say, look back at the day and say, so what did I accomplish today? My shacharis was decent. Every word was said properly. I got up early to try to beat the kids. Every word was said properly. Not with the greatest kavana. That's great. Mincha, Ma'ariv. I managed to wrench an hour of learning out of the day. That's amazing. Even though I usually learn 4 hours a day. Things were tense. But look, here I managed to initiate positivity. And in these few instances, I held back and I did my best to exude pleasantness, to create Heichal HaZchus that we were discussing. Kol HaKavod to me. This is a very chashuv tool now to be able to give ourselves that birth, pat ourselves on the back in order to be encouraged to go further tomorrow, to actually express it verbally. And to also make active efforts to give yourself space. You need the emotional space. You need the space now. If you can take steps to give yourself space, I don't know how possible that will be, but also to lighten the atmosphere, active steps. These are very serious times now, but nevertheless, we sent out an email yesterday. Chesed for yourself, chesed for your children, to lighten the atmosphere. Be talking to your children about the chashivas of all the little things that they're doing now. Sing with them, dance with them. One family told me that after last night's email, they had a family pillow fight. At a time like this, a family pillow fight? Yes, yes, you can be an injection of simcha in the home. I do some very silly dances at home, and there was a debate before I left my home if I would actually demonstrate some of the beats we do with our mouth, and was decided not to. Okay, I accept. But, you know, that's all part of creating the Heichal HaZchus. And then Be'ezus Hashem. Hashem will accept our minchas ani, and it will be oyle l'reach nicheach l'fanav yisparach, and we will have contributed our share toward this process of where Hashem is taking things, whether immediately, whether a little bit longer down the line. But we come back to the understanding that there are two animamins that we're operating with now very, very strongly, that He is controlling everything. And that ultimately, we're moving toward a place of where Hashem is just going to show His absolute dominion, show how everything else is batel, and we will have been an active part of that. Rather than having been forced into submission, we are willingly and consciously submitting ourselves to Ratzon Hashem. Be'ezus Hashem. Hashem should accept our submission and our minchas ani, the ratzon, and we should be zoiche yet this Pesach to see this process culminate in the psachim and the zvachim at the Beis HaMikdash. Be'ezus Hashem. Well, now, if people will want to ask questions. Oh, I see some questions have been submitted. I didn't hear or understand what the significant symbolism of the smashing the bird against the Mizbeach. First of all, I just want to stress this. After the bird has already been slaughtered, the slaughter itself is just as painless as a different shechit. It's that the form is a lot more violent. The significance and the symbolism of it is that we are showing this is a bird that is undergoing, that's being subject to Gzeirah Shamayim. It's different than the ox, which is everything is being done in an orderly, controlled way. Slaughtered, we're not going to talk about the significance of Shechita now. But then it's cut up neatly. There's purpose, there's human activity involved. It's not just letting go and everything falling apart. The bird is being smashed against the Mizbeach, symbolizing, just completely submitting himself, whatever Shemayim is going to bring on me, this is what's going to be. further questions. It can also be in general, not necessarily on what we were talking about, not halakha questions. Anything further? Did the Rav say the understanding of two kinds of karbanos was Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch? Yes. Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch on this week's parsha, look in the parsha of Oilas Ha'oif. In the parsha of Oilas Ha'oif, a little bit into the parsha, you'll find it there. If you contact me when I get home, I'll send you the precise source. Any more questions? Okay, it looks like we're finished. Bezos Hashem, it should be a guten Shabbos and a chodesh of Geulah.